Maybe it's like Bendel.
So we're talking about, yeah. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, after he got married with Feger, the daughter of Balan, he lived in Kivilich in his father-in-law's house, and he married after his marriage to see a lot of good things in his father-in-law's house, which he used to call his father-in-law a groyser oyved Hashem, a big, huge oyved Hashem. That's what he used to talk about his father-in-law like that. He used to say, "We never found my father-in-law with a sad face. Whenever he entered the house became full of joy immediately. But still, even though it was full of joy, there was always a sense of seriousness, of Avodas Hashem in the house." Of course, that's what his father-in-law used to wake up Chatzot every night, do Tikkun Chatzot. Levi Yitzchak used to say that in Rabbeinu's teachings, we see sort of a contradiction. On one hand, he says always, Rabbeinu says, "Mitzvah gedol aliyot b'simchat tamid," is a great mitzvah to always be happy. On the other hand, Rabbeinu says, one has to always do tshuva. Always. The word always. How could that be? You could always do tshuva and always be happy. How could that be? So Rabbeinu Yitzchak said, "By my father-in-law, I saw them both happen together at once. They didn't have a clock in his father-in-law's house. There was no clock in the father-in-law's house. Yet, his father-in-law didn't need a clock. He always woke up exactly at Chatzot and woke up over Yitzchak. And he used to say, how did he wake him up? He used to come and say the words in the Zohar. When the night is in Chatzot of night, there's a voice that comes out from heaven. The Kadosh Baruch Hu goes down to the Gan Eden and learns with the Tzaddiki, and he likes to hear the Tzaddiki, and that's all about Chatzot. And that's how Levi Yitzchak used to wake up. When Rebbe used to open the book and start saying Tikkun Chatzot, his eyes also used to open, and tears used to pour out. And they did not shut down the tears, did not close, until he finished Tikkun Chatzot. For a long time, he used to sit and cry in a set corner in the house about the galus, his own galus, and the general galus of Am Yisrael. He had a special tone of the way he read it. Now, Levi Yitzchak said he felt amazing spiritual delight from hearing the Tikkun Chatzot of his father-in-law. After Chatzot, the nights in Ukraine, in the winter at least, everyone knows, I think it's the longest is like about 16 or 17 hours of night. It's a long night. Okay? And it's plenty of time to do. So even after you do Tikkun Chatzot and you go to do it and everything, you can sit and learn for 3-4 hours. Okay? And here the night's the longest of 14 hours, but in Europe, the north where you go, the nights are longer and longer in the winter. And
the sun doesn't even rise.
There are places like that too. Some places where they rise and go down immediately. And down north you go.
Yeah.
I've been to places in the world. To a place in the world where sunset was at Tzedek Kochavim was at midnight, at 12 o'clock midnight. And Alat Hashachar was at 3 o'clock in the morning. The Nate was until 2 hours later, but
Manchester's like that.
Manchester's like that? Yeah. Could be. I've been to the south. Near the south pole.
Gateshead.
Been all the way to the south. And in Amsterdam also, I was there in Shivasa Batamus. The fast ended at 11 o'clock at night.
But it was like in the northern Sweden and Finland. In the middle of winter, it's dark. You see a little bit of light glimmering, like it's almost dawn, and it disappears again 15 minutes later.
And also, but in the summer, it's the opposite.
In summer, the sun comes down to the horizon, okay. Touches the horizon, and goes up again.
Yeah. No night.
No night, no day. Insanity.
A Jew should try not to be there, not to live there at least.
When someone once asked Chacham Ben Sion Abba Shaul, "How do you do it from a parasitic there?" So I said, "What is a Jew doing there at all?"
Well, how do you do a sphere like that?
How do you do? When
Shabbos, it's davening.
Shabbat and Shacharit. And what's a Jew doing there at all? Then he answered, but first he said, you know.
Some say you go by the nearest Jewish community. Mm-hmm. Go by the times of the nearest Jewish community.
Jewish community is 500 miles away.
Some do that. Some say you go by Yerushalayim. What Yerushalayim time? That's what you do. Eretz Yisrael time. Machlokes the poskim. And he learned a lot Shulchan Aruch at night, Rabbi Aaron. Yeah. Also, he used to say every day, he used to take 2 hours, he used to say to him simply with such ishtapos hanefesh. And in that time, I say 2 hours, I finished the whole Sefer Tehillim, but it took him a third of Sefer Tehillim. It took him 3 days to finish the Sefer Tehillim, 6 hours. And Shabbat used to finish the whole Tehillim. Yeah. So a whole week he finished 3 times the Tehillim, twice during the week and once on Shabbos. So Levi Zosad said, "It's not a surprise why such fruit came out of this house, like his wife, of Levi's wife." Tov Rosh Hashanah of Levi Yitzchak Bendo, an erev Rosh Hashanah of the year Tav Reish Ayin Chet. 1918, yeah, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak prepared for the fourth time to go and be by the Tzion, Rabbeinu, and to do with the kibbutz of Rosh Hashanah. Okay.
That was right at, no, either the ending of World War One or right after World War One.
Maybe there. You know, of Levi Yitzchak is the thing of Uman Rosh Hashanah, and even places where he couldn't go to Rosh Hashanah to get together, all people of Breslov to get together in one place in Davin, it was one of his main things. And when he came to Eretz, he organized that everyone will Davin in one place, everyone will come here to the Breslov Shul, and Davin together. He used to organize the physical conditions and the spiritual conditions, and he was the Baal Tokea and the Baal Tefila and everything he was able to be, he tried to be. Whatever they needed, he was. Yeah. For 50 years, he used to talk endlessly about Uman Rosh Hashanah and about Rosh Hashanah getting together and everything. And that's why we see that Rosh Hashanah in Breslov is a very powerful thing. One of the main reasons why it's still powerful is because of Levi Yitzchak didn't stop talking about it after the war when he came here. Rabbi Akiva Shechter Shlita, Rabbi Akiva Shechter Shlita, he used to say that even though Rabbi Yitzchak took control of everything, it wasn't as taking control, it was as a service to everyone. It looked like he's a shamish. Okay? Either it was sweeping the Beis Medrash, cleaning the tea corner, or being a Baal Tefila, whatever he was doing it as a service to the people. Whatever the people needs, I'll do. So it was the first Rosh Hashanah after he got married, the fourth Rosh Hashanah in Breslov, in Uman, going to Uman. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak used to give his Rabbi, Rabbi Avraham Nachman, Pidyon Nefesh. Like I give Rav Arush, everyone gives usually their Rav. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak used to give Rabbi Avraham Nachman Tzedakah. But usually, when do you give it? On Erev Rosh Hashanah. But now, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak came, and he gave it to him a few days before, on Erev Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah was that year, was Monday, Tuesday, like it would be this year. It's coming year, I mean the next year, coming year. And on Erev Shabbos, he gave it to him. Fine. So, Rabbi Avraham asked him, what's new by you? So, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said, nothing's new. And he was married already for a while, and didn't have children yet. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said, at this time next year, you can have a son. That's what Rabbi Avraham told him. Okay. That was the last blessing that he received from him, because that Shabbos he collapsed, and he was ill till a month later, and he, 2 months later, and then he died. So it was amazing that he was able to get the bracha out of him much before. And mamash, the next year, in those times, a few days before Rosh Hashanah, Chafei Elul, Rabbi Yitzchak had his oldest son, his name was Rabbi Moshe. Afterward, he had two more sons, which but they passed away when they were kids, the two sons. And he had another daughter, which is still alive today. She's married to the person who wrote this book. His son, by the way, is a crazy story, so we'll tell you about his son. His son died when he was young. And not so young. His son, who stayed alive, died when he was 54 years old, and there's an amazing story about this. That now. So, Rabbi Yitzchak, at the bris of that son, he didn't manage to be, because the bris was on Tom Gedalia, and the ways were crazy in those days, and there was gangs hanging around murdering people, especially Jews, and he couldn't get there on time. He got home an hour after the day was over, so they saw Shkias coming, the family, so they did the bris without him being there. And something amazing, 68 years later, 68? Yeah, Tafshin Mem Zayin, okay. There was a brit on Rosh Hashanah, and the father wasn't there. He was an uman or something, and Rabbi Yitzchak was the sandik. He made the brachas and everything. The shaliach, he was the shaliach to do the brit for the son. Anyways, so, and there was a pidyon aben for that son. Kitzur. And on Yom Chamishi, we'll talk about more stories from Rabbi Yitzchak. Amazing.
So tomorrow, there's a